Welcome back to the Charlotte Angel Connection, the Charlotte area podcast linking entrepreneurs, investors, and the broader Charlotte community. As you know, our goal here is to interview the individuals who are building, shaping, and influencing entrepreneurship in the Charlotte region so you can stay invested in Charlotte's growth. Today, we are extremely fortunate to have Walt Fry joining us. As you'll hear in our conversation, I've known Walt since at least early 2016 and probably before then, and have thoroughly enjoyed getting to know him. And I think you'll enjoy getting to know him through our conversation today as well. He's been a great advocate for all things startup and angel investing in Charlotte, and brings a super high level of energy and passion to the scene. I wanted to talk with Walt today, as he's the kind of roll-up-your-sleeves guy you always want to be around. If he sees a problem or if he sees an opportunity, he's going to be one of the first ones there to take action. As such, he's gotten very involved with the Charlotte Regional Fund for Entrepreneurship. And again, you'll learn this today, but anything Walt gets involved with, he does with 100% effort. So as the Charlotte entrepreneurship effort and scenes grow, we're going to be pretty fortunate to have Walt right there in a leadership capacity for us. So in our discussion today, we really wanted to circle through and get Walt's thought process on a couple of different things. We wanted to start off with a little bit of where he's from, who he is, what he's done. Wanted to get thought process on, you know, why get involved in the Charlotte Angels or startup community. What's the benefits to it? You know, who are some of the current players in the scene? How's the Charlotte Regional Fund for Entrepreneurship going to help support those players? What's it going to do in excess? How are some of the bigger companies responding to these efforts over the course of the last couple of years? You know, what are some of the expectations for the Charlotte Regional Fund for Entrepreneurship? And a host of other things. I think it's a fantastic conversation. I'm really excited. To get started today, I wanted to have Walt tell a little bit about his story. Where is he from? What's he done? What's the benefits of him being back here in Charlotte? So, Walt, first of all, thank you for being on the show. But more importantly to our guests, can you give us a little bit of your background? Where are you from, and what have you done?
Sure. Well, I'll start off by saying that it's a pleasure to be here. William, you've been a great friend, and I appreciate the opportunity to participate. Where I came from really is right down the road. I was born in Rock Hill, South Carolina, and grew up in Columbia. I went to public schools down there, and eventually left to go to college, and was fortunate enough to attend the United States Military Academy at West Point. And there, and it's really related to some of our conversation, you know, studied, military disciplines and preparing for a career in the Army. At that time, the wall was up, so a lot of focus on Germany and the USSR, et cetera. When I left school, I actually was a military policeman and spent 10 years in the Army, and it was a very different world back then. Instead of the USSR, it was a New World Order, and I was deployed a couple places in Panama and the first Gulf War, and then eventually to Bosnia-Herzegovina, and I spent some good times there. So after about 10 years in the Army, I got out, went to the business school, was at Harvard for 2 years. From there, landed in Wall Street, and was a sales trader for international equities in a very volatile time, about the year 2000. So I was trading international equities at the same time, emerging markets at the same time as the internet bubble. So that was a lot of fun times. And that was that led me to say, what in the world am I doing here in New York? So I was fortunate to land a job in Charlotte, North Carolina, to come back closer to home, closer to the South, and worked at Bank of America in a number of roles in the consumer bank. Eventually left Bank of America and landed at Ally Financial, where I really got focused on technology, having several roles in the technology and operations group. I eventually left that role and landed at Fiserv, where I spent the last really 3 years in financial technology and financial product roles and led a reasonable-sized payments group at Fiserv. When I left ViServe last year, and this comes to how I got to know William, is that I decided to seek a role in Charlotte where I could actually live and work in the same city because I was traveling so much in Dallas and Atlanta and Milwaukee, other places. So in doing so, I really got engrossed in understanding and spending time in the business community. Spent a lot of time in many of the association programs, spent some time with the chamber, time with Big and Terry Cox, engrossed myself in all the events, and really sought to be a part of the entrepreneurial ecosystem here in Charlotte. So that led me to become an advisor in Queen City FinTech and Queen City Forward and City Startup Labs. Eventually, I gained interest after some dialogue and due diligence around angel investing. Got engrossed in that with Charlotte Angel Fund, and then eventually Venture South. And as I kind of made my way to meeting a lot of people, and I think a big part of it is just kind of being there. I started to understand more about how fragmented the environment was, how hard it was to kind of do the things I was trying to do, and in that process. Was approached to help to bring together some of the fragmentation into a cohesive strategy with work with the city and the chamber. And with that, I'm currently serving as we'll call it a program director for a group called, today it's called the Charlotte Regional Fund for Entrepreneurship. We will be getting another name. And that fund is really designed to help to reinforce, to build the connective tissue within the growth entrepreneurship environment, and to really help where appropriate and we can, and where the entrepreneurs help lead to a better connectivity across the ecosystem. So so that's how I got here. That's what I'm doing now, and hopefully moving in the right direction.
Wow, certainly an interesting background. I mean, Harvard Business School, serving in the Army, being in New York during, the 2000 market crash and everything else. So certainly get the aspect of moving back down to Charlotte to be closer to where you're from, to family and everything else. But why startups? What was the interest in startups? What really got you moving in that direction over the probably numerous other opportunities that you could have traveled down?
There are a couple of things. One thing with startups and young companies, I'd spent a lot of time in innovation space at B of A and at Fiserv especially. And I'd come across a lot of companies where they were presenting or, trying to sell their value prop or et cetera. And I got to really have some good perspective, understanding about some of some of the challenges that entrepreneurs have in engaging large companies. So when I got here and wanted to look at it differently, I started to seek out where and how we engage in these spaces in Charlotte. And in fact, one of the first places I really started engaging was in a presentation from Paul Wheatenhall, who was presenting out the Entrepreneurial Growth Report and talking about Charlotte and the ecosystem and what's going on. So as I was kind of thinking about those issues, I started to just plug into, so what do we do? How can we be involved and how do we get engaged? And that led me to QC FinTech, and to the other groups too. And one of the groups that I mentioned was City Startup Labs, which is a accelerator focused on building entrepreneurial acumen and really creating strong enterprises with founders who are African-American male millennials. I think they're going to expand that a little bit more this year. But I wanted to go with that group, especially because I wanted to learn more about the millennials. How do these guys think about things, and what are they doing, and how do you connect? So everything I kind of have done recently is about how do I learn more about how to connect in the community and to, help where I can to advance these important causes. So I landed in a lot of places that got me a little bit of trouble, but also got me to have some visibility and opportunity to engage with entrepreneurs and to help in that cause. So the last piece is about angel investing. And I had an opportunity to meet Greg Brown, and we talked a lot, and I was hugely impressed with the work that Charlotte Angel Fund is doing and their mission to improve and increase the presence of angel investing and the stature of angel investing and the volume of angel investing here in Charlotte. With a focus on Southeast companies, but really opportunities to other things too, but really a focus on Southeast companies and those in Charlotte. So that was important from a mission perspective, and I thought Greg was great, and he was very informative, had a very good platform, so I really wanted to get involved there. And then for Venture South, I'm from South Carolina, and I like their platform. I like how structured they are. Allowing folks who are just new to, for Greg, Charlotte Angel Fund and Venture South, allowing for folks who are new to angel investing to structure their portfolios and think of it from a portfolio perspective. So me being new to this, I thought it was really important for me to go and with a structured approach, with access to the best data available, with people who knew what they were talking about, and with a social network, an investor network, who was very supportive. So those are the things that drove me to getting involved in startups and getting involved in angel investing and with these groups that I think are great groups.
Well, you mentioned a couple of phrases in there, and you also talked briefly about City Startup Labs, and I think what they're doing is great. We've interviewed Aaron Galloway on here before with InfiniGift. I think it's a great concept. I think what Queen City 4 does is a fantastic effort, and wish them the best of luck as they continue to go forward. But in your intro and in your question or your answer just a second ago, you mentioned two phrases. One, just being present, and the other, taking a front row seat. You're clearly a roll up your sleeves kind of guy. You like to get dirty. You like to be involved in it. That's not the direction for everybody. It's not how everybody sits or how everybody's structured. So with that, how do you get involved in the angel community? Or maybe more importantly, if you're interested, how do you become an angel investor here in Charlotte?
I'll say two things. One is I've personally been investing for a couple of decades, and I have a pretty good sense of traditional markets, emerging markets, et cetera. So looking at angel investing as an asset class, it's different, as an alternative investment class. So as folks think about, how they invest in general, one way to get started and get engaged is to consider, especially if you're an accredited investor or you're considering, some of the crowdfunding, consider how being involved in an active investment might be part of what you want to do. And active investment, not from a financial perspective specifically, but it could be because you can get involved different ways, but really active in that you can engage directly with the founders, you can engage directly with advisors, you can become an advisor, you can contribute of yourself in a way that is appropriate for you, and put your toe in the water. So it's almost for me that a person can choose to participate, and I'm gonna, this is not a negative comment, but it's kind of a concept we've been talking about, is people can choose, and I'd encourage folks to choose to come, from the corporate areas, down to meet these entrepreneurs where they are, and get involved in the best way they think they can. And that could be just participating, going to the events, find out where they are, signing up for meetups, going once a month, even if you don't have a lot of time, and just doing that type of thing, just to get interested and get involved and present. And then secondly, maybe thinking about how you can invest your time, your skills, your money, and your attention to these activities. And there are a lot of ways that folks get involved. So I think that just taking a step into the pool, a toe into the pool, there are a lot of ways to do that.
That's a great place for me to say that past performance is not indicative of future returns. Thanks, Walt. I appreciate it. On a more serious note, are there other benefits to being involved in the startup and or angel community here in Charlotte?
I think they are. There are. I think it's the one thing that I say about Charlotte as compared to all the cities I've lived in, is that Charlotte is a city that is also a community. A lot of folks say a big, small town, but it's a community. And people who choose to get involved in this very important space also have an opportunity to help shape the future of our economy in the city, help engage directly as an advisor, an investor, at least especially as an advisor or a mentor possibly. directly with entrepreneurs who could really use your skill set. And this may be true for the startup space, but also other businesses that are in other stages of growth, because you may be better suited to advice in those other spaces. But it's an opportunity for folks to give of themselves, an opportunity for folks to learn about the community, an opportunity to shape community as they choose to, as they see they can in their own way. And, man, there's an opportunity just to meet some great people. I've been really, really, really pleased and fortunate to meet some great people in Charlotte Angel Fund. The group at Venture South is starting to grow out. And I think there's really opportunity for you to meet people you otherwise wouldn't have the top opportunity to meet. I mean, man, Rob Cummings is a great person. It was really a pleasure to meet him in the space. And there's so many others, but there are a Spencer Disher. There are a ton of people who are great people who you wouldn't otherwise meet. So I think that's a big benefit for me, especially having been a commuter for the last several years and now coming back, meeting people who are my peers and who are very engaging and smart and making of a great network.
Yeah, Walt, I couldn't agree with you more on that. There's really some fantastic people that are both part of Charlotte Angel Fund and or Venture South, as well as folks that just kind of come in and come out. So it's a great opportunity to meet some really fantastic, very sharp, smart people here in the city of Charlotte. But just to transition for a second, and I want to talk about the Charlotte Regional Fund for Entrepreneurship here in a second as well, and your involvement with them. But you've been involved with Queen City Ford, Queen City FinTech, City Startup Labs over the course of the last 12 to 18 months. How important are they to the future of the city of Charlotte?
I think they're important for three reasons. One is that having strong incubator programs are indicative of a strong and vibrant ecosystem, so that we're able to bring together resources to focus on a set of a cluster, injury cluster, or cause, or such as Queen City Ford or CSL, and even Charlotte Jewels, CLTO Jewels, which is doing some great work too. So I think these are raised the stature of the city in terms of our ability to bring together resources that really build companies. The second reason I think they're important is that they help to do that, build companies. So we're able to actually help to strengthen the startup muscle around a lot of lean startup and other type of principles. We're able to connect people to resources. We're able to attract talent to Charlotte in some of these programs, bring people to Charlotte, such as QC FinTech. And then thirdly, we're able to actually, create better opportunities for investment because we're creating better companies. So these three things kind of play into each other in terms of, you know, bringing the resources together, strengthening these companies, and making them more attractive for investors like us.
Which is a great segue, Walt, so thanks. You've talked about the incubator programs from QC FinTech to VenturePrize and everything in between, CLT Jewels, Queen City Ford, City Startup Labs, and everything else, and all that they're doing to help promote entrepreneurship startups here in the city of Charlotte. You've recently gotten involved with the Charlotte Regional Fund for Entrepreneurship. What does it do, or probably more importantly, what is it going to do to promote entrepreneurism startups here in Charlotte as we continue to push forward here over the course of the next, you know, 12, 24 months and even 5 to 10 years down the road?
Yeah, so I'd say a couple of things. You know, I mentioned the incubators and accelerators. I just think those are very important programs. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the work that they're doing at VenturePrize as well up in Portal. So I think that one of the key things that we're seeking to do with CRFE is to move it from being a funding organization. So CRFE is Charlotte Regional Fund for Entrepreneurship, and from being a funding organization to an operating organization. It was created to be a private-public partnership that focuses on creating a local high-growth entrepreneurial ecosystem. So it's important to say that because it's not just to focus on individual entrepreneurs, but to create a high-growth ecosystem where many entrepreneurs can get the benefit of the resources and connectivity that are so critical to a vibrant ecosystem and a vibrant community. So we're just getting going. So we got our first approval about 3 weeks ago from today from the city to move forward. We've been taking the last few weeks to get organized, to start to reform the board. And we are working towards really developing programs around four key themes. Those themes are promoting Charlotte's ecosystem and really raising the stature of it, celebrating entrepreneurs in that process, and assuring that people know that we are focused on nurturing and investing in innovation and entrepreneurship. So we want our city to know that, and we want others to know that and be very, very proud of it. Secondly, we want to focus on talent, and talent being so critical, entrepreneurial talent, so that muscle, that skill about building companies in the right stages, and there are wonderful people who've done that and who've shown they're willing to share that. And the skill and the technical skills, more domain skills that are really required from a technical technology and a business domain perspective. So we have an incredible strength in the city around our corporate presence. And if you look at the financial services sector, you look at energy, you look at healthcare, advanced manufacturing, IT, et cetera, we have strong domain knowledge that becomes a really good foundation for those who leave those corporations and want to start businesses. We want to have a foundation for them and leverage those skills and attract them. And then secondly, sharing those skills, because those domain skills are key to talents and skills are really key to building stronger companies in those sectors. The last couple of things just on the ecosystem. Strengthening the ecosystem means strengthening the interconnectivity. That's a core part of it. So we're talking about the interconnectivity of across resources, resource pools, entrepreneurs at different levels of their business development, and connecting those with other entrepreneurs who are willing and able and to share and be a part of this. So we think, and everybody's told me this, so I'm just really excited that so many people are aligned in this, that interconnectivity is what's most important to assure that we're strengthening the space. And lastly, capital, as we're going to talk about. Yeah.
It's a great point, Walt. I mean, you mentioned some of the great big companies that we have in Charlotte, and some of them helped build the city. I mean, Bank of America, Legacy, Wells Fargo with, Wachovia, Duke Energy, and a number of others as well. How willingly are they coming to the table in the discussions that you're starting to have to them? Or, you're talking about changing the ecosystem and promoting startups and entrepreneurship and everything else. Are they fearful that they're going to lose their grip on the city?
Not at all. Not at all. These companies have been great partners throughout, a number of dialogues that I've been a part of. And the way they, there's no monolithic single point of view, but what the types of benefits they see are to tap into innovation and entrepreneurship as a way of improving their businesses and their business line, business bottom lines. They see it as a way to identify new technologies through sponsorship of some of these programs that I've already mentioned. These companies see this as an opportunity to attract young people to the city and to to diversify our economic development infrastructure. So the companies that I've talked to really are very supportive. What I think some of the challenge is how do you enable a space where they can get involved? And they see the benefit of partnering with entrepreneurs and small companies, especially as partners in, the supply chain, as partners in sharing information, as partners in helping to grow and build certain sectors of the city, business sectors of the city.
So speaking of sectors there, Walt, one of the things that Dan Roselli and his team over at QC FinTech, HQ Charlotte Packard Place, have done over the course of the last 5 or 6 years is really bring a lot of attention to the fintech efforts or fintech community here in Charlotte and building that up. Is the CRFE going to be focused on fintech, or is it going to be more focused on innovation in general? Where is it going to stand?
Yeah, it's not going to be sector focused. So as we looked at the two strategies that were brought together to be this unified plan, that was a strategic work from the city and other partners, and strategic work from the chamber. There was a clear need to do broad-based ecosystem development. At the same time, there's also an emphasis on at least a highlighting of certain core clusters that are important for our city. So those clusters being, I've mentioned some already, fintech, healthcare, energy, advanced manufacturing, and others other folks may know about. And social enterprise actually is one of the very important ones too that we would pay attention to as well. But the intent is to build an infrastructure that supports the interconnectivity of the key resources at the macro level, we're partnering with QC, the FinTech initiative, to assure that we're aligned in how we develop infrastructure, how we focus on these same four topics really, but do it in a way that might be unique or specific to a cluster while building out, you know, the core infrastructure around, I'll say talent for this whole space. So we want to support and be aligned with the clusters. We don't want to get in the way, but that alignment means that we should have great dialogue about how these programs are developing, because we need especially for the FinTech initiative, we're both moving in the same direction, but our timing may just need to be aligned. But we're both very supportive, and SCRFE will. My initiative will be broad-based, but we'll be supportive and aligned with those clusters.
Well, what's the timeline? What's for the impact that's of what you're doing with CRFE, of what's happening, within other entrepreneur circles within Charlotte? And I know that's difficult. I mean, you've been involved in it for the last 18 to 24 months, and you've seen a lot of change take place over then, and even the pace of change is probably quickening over the course of, the last 6 months or so. But how long before people that are driving in from Davidson or driving in from Matthews or sitting down in Ballantyne, how long before they start to see the impact of some of the things that you're doing through CRFE and others are doing to make a change or make a difference within the city?
I think people are going to start feeling the impacts of the work as it started, and we expect to get started on some initiatives that will engage the entrepreneurial community and the barter community, and in really defining the digital and physical hubs that we're considering as a strong initiative, and we'll start that work in the next few weeks.
Okay.
We believe that that work, it takes time, but our construct is to engage the community in a way that we can build out things that are relevant, and then iterate through them with visibility and transparency so you can see the work that's taking place and the community can be involved. I think the other thing that will start to be felt is just as we kind of build out bodies of work, we'll have opportunities for people to participate in work groups, advisory groups, et cetera. And that'll be another place where you'll start to feel some of the work and how it's starting to trickle out, and the word about, hey, we have a place to go and connectivity, et cetera. I think when you look at the broader sets of activities, especially in two big categories I'll speak to, one about branding and marketing and celebrating entrepreneurs, we'll continue to see that grow. There's been some great work by folks like Juan Garzon and others who have really started to lay out some good groundwork around celebratory activities and really elevating entrepreneurs. There are a number of folks who have blogs, et cetera, who are out there. We want to see more of that and see it connected. I don't know what that means yet, but I'm seeing with a theme of interconnectivity. How do we get as much as we can? I don't say concentrate it, but certainly connect it so that people know where to go and can have access to the information. So that piece of branding and elevating and celebrating, we'll see that as well. And then I'll just end this by saying that a lot of the outcomes we're trying to achieve really are long-term. They're around economic growth, economic development, upper mobility.
Well, right there, you're on an important topic, upward mobility. What role can CRFE play? I mean, can it impact upward mobility here in Charlotte?
I think CRFE has a role to play, like, you know, many, many other organizations. When I say CRFE, it's really about the entrepreneur community. You know, how do we help the entrepreneur community connect in a way that impacts? And I think where we believe there's this is a personal belief, and I think maybe others share it as well, is that entrepreneurship is a path to upper mobility, giving people the skills and the access and information in order to create businesses that help them grow wealth and help them create jobs in their communities. So undoubtedly, this has been known to be the case across many communities, and we also say, why not here? Yeah. With that, a big part of this is interconnectivity. I'll come back to it. Now, how do you get people in one neighborhood, one community to share information, access to resources in other communities? How do you make this a symbiotic activity where people are helping the whole community grow because we are being very open to sharing of skills and experiences, which is critical to startups especially. So I think entrepreneurship and us nurturing a connected environment, a connected ecosystem will help, but it also includes us really focusing some attention on programs that that might be really beneficial to strengthening entrepreneurship and business acumen in communities that may not have access to some of the skill sets that that are critical to building businesses.
Well, great discussion and conversation so far. And again, I appreciate A, you carving out the time, and B, you know, have enjoyed, you know, getting to know you over the course of the last couple of months myself. But as we start to wrap up the conversation, you've done a complete 180 over the course of the last couple of years. You've gone from, you know, big corporate world to, you know, small startup, and participating in that ecosystem here in Charlotte. If you could go back and have a drink with Walt of 5 or 10 years ago, what do you tell him? What do you say?
You know, I would say this. I've been very fortunate in my roles and my experiences, great leaders and companies that I've been fortunate to be a part of. What I would say to myself is I don't know if I would change, you know, necessarily the roles I've had in the past. What I really would say to myself is that, and I share this with others, that you can learn a lot from listening to people and listening to millennials and young people who are unabashed and are out to solve problems and who don't and who see problems as opportunities. As a manager and a leader, and coming back to how, you know, this could play in some you know, business environments, corporate environments, encouraging our young, actually our teams, our employees, our teammates, to be owners and to own problems and to see problems as real opportunities, and then encouraging them and elevating them and celebrating them and compensating them. So the things that entrepreneurs want are still things that my team wanted 5 years ago. I think I'd be better equipped to have that dialogue with them, and I think there are things that you and I talked about earlier that are benefits to getting involved in this community. I think that when people, you know, I'll use the term, you know, come down from the towers. I've been up in there with you guys, so it's not a negative comment. Come on down and participate here because there's so much you can learn that you can apply today. And there are ways that I would also say William, that you know, I'm learning more about, you know, resources that are available to us. So 5 years ago, I just came across a book that wasn't written 5 years ago, but it would be pretty good 5 years ago back. And that's called The 10% Entrepreneur. And I shared this with folks that, you know, it's a way to think about your portfolio of skills, your portfolio of assets, and how you start to use those to be entrepreneurial and participate as an advisor, as a investor, as an entrepreneur while you're still at your job. And then you think about how you expand that over time. I think that would have been helpful to me, and that would have changed my point of view about opportunity, and that may have also shifted my perspective on, you know, how I got engaged in the community 5 years ago versus now. I think now I'm more capable and effective in roles where I can leverage my skills more broadly, and that includes in growing companies. So I'm still, you know, talking with growing companies about, you know, how to improve their operations, which and product and strategy, et cetera. So I'll do that with startups. I'll do that with growing companies. I'll continue to do that just as part of my continued involvement, contribution in the ecosystem, and building this whole set of activities out.
Walt, again, really, really appreciate it. So I've thoroughly enjoyed our conversation today. Have learned more about CRFE. Certainly learned more about your role within it. And I'm still not sure who's in charge over there, who's doing what. But I mean, I clearly see they made a really solid decision in bringing you on board. Excited to see what you're going to do over the course of the next couple months and quarters and years within the startup community here in Charlotte. So thanks again so much for carving out some time for us today, having a conversation, and certainly look forward to continuing that in the future. So thank you.
No, thank you so much. And thanks for what you're doing for the community, for angel investing, for entrepreneurship. It's really important when people just start. They got to just go and start doing something. So we appreciate you.
Again, great interview with Walt Fry. He's going to be a great advocate for the startup scene here in Charlotte for, I can imagine, many, many years going forward into the future. So just to kind of sit down and pick his brain, I thought it was really interesting. I certainly hope you enjoyed listening in as much as I enjoyed, certainly hosting him and getting to know him a little bit more. So next week, we've got an upcoming two-part session, which I'm pretty excited about. We've got Matt Pateri with Sunlight Financial. Matt is CEO of Sunlight Financial, and we'll get a little bit more into what they do next week. But they are essentially a lending facility for mainly individuals looking to put solar panels on their house. So they lend money out and bring that revenue back in the door. They've got an office here in New York, or office here in Charlotte, as well as an office in New York. They've raised over $700 million. Obviously, part of that is lending capital, and part of it is operating capital. But to raise that amount of money over the course of the last couple of years is phenomenal. And it's phenomenal that we hear so little about a company in our backyard that is doing such great things. I'm really, really excited about listening in, or you listening in to our interview with Matt. I think he does a great job. It's a two-part interview. It was a planned two-part interview. So we had, the first part set up. We took a break, came back into the second part. So it should be even cleaner two-part interviews than some of the ones we've done in the recent past as well. So please stick around, listen to us next week, and share with your friends. William Bissett is an investment advisor representative with Seacrest Blakey & Associates, a registered investment advisor. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Seacrest Blakey & Associates. The topics discussed and opinions given are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Seacrest Blakey & Associates also does not offer legal or tax advice. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their financial needs with the appropriate professional regarding your individual circumstance. Investments herein described may be speculative and may involve a substantial risk of loss. Interest may be offered only to persons who qualify as accredited investors under the Securities Act and a qualified purchaser as defined in Section 2A, 51A under the Company Act, or an eligible employee of the management company. There generally is no public market for the interest. Prospective investors should particularly note that many factors affect performance, including changes in market conditions and interest rates, and other economic, political, or financial developments. Past performance is not and should not be construed as indicative of future results.